Okay, Hechsher Kalim, part 3. We're going to begin talking about Machvas. So the Rashba writes in Taras Habayis on Lamed Hamad Aleph that Machvas Shemetagnim Bo needs Libun. Why? This is considered Tashmish Al Yidei Or. Why? Shashemen Eino Mahalech Al Pnei Kula V'hi Bola'as Ha'Isser Mimakom She'en HaShemen Saf Alav. In other words, we know that Tashmish Al Yidei Or requires Libun. If, however, there is water, then all you need is Hagala. Now, everybody assumes that oil and water are the same. If you cook in oil, it's like cooking in water, and Hagala would suffice. The problem is that when you fry in oil, the Rashba says that parts of the pan sometimes have more oil, sometimes have less. In my stove at home, you see this all the time, I think because our stove isn't flat. So all the oil sort of drips to one side of the frying pan, and you know, half of it's deep fried and half of it is burning on the other side.
How many inches of water?
Well, water you use like 3 inches worth, so that's not, doesn't happen. But when you use a frying pan, so there's like a, you know, a half a centimeter of oil or something like that, so there it's much more nicker. So because of that concern, the Rashba says that you need Libun. Why? Because half of the stuff being fried in the frying pan are going to be without oil. And once it's without oil, it's Tashmish Al Yidei Ha'or, and Mimela, you need Libun. Now, for purposes of clarity, we'll get into the details when we get to the Lamaisa, but I'll just mention this at the outside. There are basically three potential cases of frying. Two of them are relatively clear, and the Ikra Machlokas is about the middle case. One case is, like we said, if you're deep frying with plenty of oil, everybody's going to agree that for that, Hagala suffices. And everybody's more or less going to agree if you fry with no oil or minimal oil, and we'll define what minimal oil is. So now we'll say no oil. So you use a frying pan, but no oil. Lamaisa, everybody's going to agree that you'll need Libun. We say Lamaisa because there are those who disagree in the Rishonim, but Lamaisa, everybody's going to agree you need Libun. The debate among the Rishonim is about the case in between, where you fry and there's some oil, not tons of oil, not a little oil, like this case that the Rashba is describing, where it's certainly very likely that part of the pan might have no oil. And that's why the Rashba says you need Libun. The Rosh in Pesachim, Perek Bei, Siman Zayin, writes that the Rav Yah heard from his father, Rabbeinu Yoel, that Libun on a machvas is required as well. Unfortunately, the Rav Yah only heard this from his father after his father was nifter, and he decided to debate his father about this. He disagreed, but his father was no longer around to respond, to rebut. But the Rav Yah's father, Rabbeinu Yoel, was machmir like the Rashba as well, and Rabbeinu Yoel brought two rayos lahachmir, very interesting rayos. Number one is the Gemara in Pesachim Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph writes that for purposes of Hilchos Chala, we consider Tigun and we would consider Tigun the opposite, I guess. This would be the Raya, I guess it says like Sli, right? Like Afia, not like Bishul. So if we were to equate Hilchos Chala and Hilchos Hechsher Kalim, so that would be a Raya L'Hachmir. And the second Raya is the Tosefta Avodah Zarah says, this is Perek Tes Halacha Beis, Hayoros U'mechame Chamin Hatagnin V'akumkumusin Madichin Beroschin. So, sorry, I said it wrong. It was a Raya L'Hakel from Chala, right? Yeah, sorry. Yes, I thought. Okay, take a step, go back. So the Rush himself said, correct, quotes the Rav Yah, is bringing two rayos lahakel from Chala. Raya number one, lahakel from Chala, is that in terms of, two rayos lahakel for Tigun. Raya number one, lahakel for Tigun, is that by Chala we treat it like Bishul, and therefore likewise for Hechsher Kalim. And Raya number two is the Tosefta says that Tagnin, which is L'chorah Machvas, you only need Hagala. Now, the Raya, let's consider those two Rayos. The Raya of the Rav Yochum Chala is very fascinating, because I would have thought that the two Rayos, the two situations, don't necessarily follow the same rules. In other words, who's to say that we automatically equate Chala, which might have certain parameters in terms of defining what Tigun and Bishul and Afiyah is, versus Hechsher Kelim, where the issue is Kabolo Kachpalto, and the question is specifically whether it was absorbed Al Yidei Ha'esh or Be'emtzos, something else. So Lechora, what the Rav Yah maintained was, like we discussed in the first year, that when determining Kabolo Kachpalto, we look at categories, and not the specific details of how it actually happened, but what category is it? And therefore, since in the halachos of Chala it falls under the category of Bishul, so too it makes sense, l'inyan hachsher kelim. Now you could be docha the raya in a couple of ways. First of all, like we said, you could reject the comparison to Chala in the first place. Second of all, you could say that even if we accepted the raya from Chala, there are many Rishonim who paskin like Rav Yochanan, legabe hilchos Chala, right? And there's machlokas over there between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What the reason is, Rav Yochanan says mipnei shasan b'chama memela ein lam din lechem, and therefore, even if you accept that there should be a raya from Chala, it's still not necessarily going to yield the conclusion of the Rav Yah, lahakel by machvas. In terms of the raya from the Tosefta, so the Rashba's docha the raya, because he says that if you look at when the Gemara in Avodah Zarah quotes the Tosefta, it doesn't mention Tagnin. So perhaps the Bavli, at least, either wasn't goriset in the Tosefta or disagreed with the Tosefta, one way or the other, we're going to paskin like the Bavli against the Tosefta, ein lemeidin mina Toseftos, and therefore, both of the rayos that the Rav Yah brings lahakel for Tigun can be rejected. Nevertheless, now then there's the third raya. The third issue, which is even more problematic, which is the Metzias concern, right? The rayos, you go back and forth. Is it like Chala? Is it not like Chala? What's the Girsa in the Tosefta? But what about the practical concern that the Rashba and the Rush raise as well? The Rush says the concern a little bit different than the Rashba, but essentially that sometimes over the course of frying, the oil gets all burnt out. There's no more oil left at the end. Maybe at the beginning when you started frying, there was plenty of oil. At the end, there's no oil. Or the way the Rashba says it, part of the pot doesn't have oil, one way or the other. How do the Mekilim deal with that concern? That is, lechora, the biggest problem. So we find two answers to this concern. Number one is the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, Lamed Vavam, the base, Diba Maswa, Od Kasav HaChacham, writes that who says Tashmisho B'chamin is Tali B'mashkin? Maybe, even if there are no mashkim in the pan, it's still not considered al yidei ha'or. Why? Because it's eino roe pnei ha'or. And that's for it's not considered roe pnei, it's not considered tashmisho al yidei or. Now what does that mean? Presumably this means that the food is, when do you need liban? When the food itself is roe pnei ha'or. So let's take the case of a skewer. Right, that's an example from the Mishnah. Everybody agrees you need liban. How does a skewer work? You have this metal peg, and on this metal peg is a piece of meat. Right, so in that case, the food is ra'ah pnei ha'or. Right, why? Because the food is either touched by the fire, or it doesn't actually have to touch the fire. It could be above the fire, but it ki'ilu sees the fire. Right, there's no davar hamafsik between the fire and the food, and that the ra'ah says is when you need liban, but if it's not roa pnei ha'or, if there's something mafsik between the food and the fire, so then hagala suffices. So the Ra says, even if in Achinami all your oil burns out of your pan and you're frying with no oil, still Hagala will suffice. Why? Because in the case of a frying pan, it's not Roa Pnei Ha'or. So that's one way to deal with the Mitzius Chash of frying. Now, if you look, the Rashba doesn't seem to understand the Ra'ah that way. Because the Rashba in the Mishmer Sabayis says, one second, in the case of the skewer, it's also not Roa Pnei Ha'or, because the food and the Kli are mafsik. Meaning to say, the Rashba thought that even a skewer is not Roa Pnei Ha'or. The Rashba understood that Roa Pnei Ha'or means that the pan, that which is Bolea, is in contact with the food. And therefore, he says there's no difference between the frying pan without oil and the skewer. But at least the Ra'a held that it means the only time you need Libun is if the food is Roa Pnei Ha'or. So that's number one. That's answer number one, how to deal with the Mitzias Chash that exists for the Machvas. Answer number two is found in the Rush. The Rush says that even though it's true sometimes over the course of frying all of the oil gets burnt up and the food might be even Nidbak Ledofne Hakadera, nevertheless you don't need Libun. Why? He says, look, one second, if you're going to be Choshesh that sometimes the oil gets burnt up, so even when you cook, sometimes there is a direct chibor without any liquid in between the food and the pan. For example, sometimes you cook spaghetti, and you'll notice that there'll be some spaghetti that's stuck on the bottom of the pan, right? You go ahead, you drain it, and on the bottom, there's spaghetti, especially if you forget to stir it. So the spaghetti gets cooked into the bottom of the pan. So the Rashi says, nobody ever heard of saying that every pot needs libun. If you're right, if the Rabbeinu Yoel, if the Rashba was right, so then every pot, even a pot that you cooked spaghetti on, at least if you're choshesh from Miut Tashmish, would require Libun. So Elamai, it must be that's not a concern. Why? Because since there's Lachluchis in the Tavshil, even if it's Yavesh on the bottom, that's not considered Tashmish al Yedei Ha'or. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan in Yoredeya Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, writes that the Kasha, the Rush, is not the strongest Kasha, because there's really still a very big difference between a pot of spaghetti where the Machvas, where it's very common. In other words, when it comes to a pot of spaghetti, yeah, in Achanami, every so often some of the spaghettis will stick to the bottom of the pan. But when you're talking about a machvas, so that's maisim b'chol yom, it's matzui ma'od that this will happen. Again, if you are machmir from your tashmish, that's not going to be such an important distinction. If you are makel on your tashmish, that distinction is a little stronger. But the Chazon Ish in Orech Chaim Kuf Yud Tes explains, no, neither of those concerns are going to be a problem for the Rush. Why? The pshat, what the Rush is really getting at, is that even if we know it got dried up on the bottom, the lachluchis in the tavshil is always going to moisten the food throughout, even at the part on the bottom where there perhaps is no oil, where there is no lachluchis. In other words, when is it that we require libun? The Rush holds libun is only required when there's no moisture in the pan or in the tavshil or the like when you're roasting something on an open fire. But when you are cooking something in a pot or even frying something in a frying pan where you started off with oil and that oil put lachluchis into the tavshil, so then even if you knew that all the oil was burnt out at the bottom, at the end, that would be no problem and hagala would suffice. So how do we paskin? So the Bir Halacha in Tafnun Aleph and Sifyut Aleph, Dumas Chomutaris, writes that Rov Poskim are Mekel like the Rav Yah and the Rush. We'll talk about bottom line, Lamais, in a moment, but it seems that most Rishonim are Mekel. And again, we have these two svaras, the Lamdish HaChiluk and the Practical HaChiluk. Parenthetically, it's an interesting, if you look at the Sifrei in Parshas Matos, Kuf Nun Ches, it says, Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh, Kegon HaLechusin V'Hasakinim V'Hakederos V'Hashibudim V'Hasgelaus. So, Mipnei Gilei Goyim, and that requires Libun. So, the Netziv writes that, according to our Gerson in the Netziv, you see a Raya for the Rashba, and Rabbeinu Yahweh Lahachmir, because it includes Kederos in the list of things that are Begeder Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh. So, what would the Mekilim respond? So, there's two options. The Gra just takes out the word Kederos, in which case it's not Akasha. Alternatively, if you try to shtup the Sifrei into Rashi and Ramban's reading of the Pasuk, then it's also not a Raya, because Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh doesn't mean Libun. So if you look in the Sefer Galus Kalim, he tries to do that. Okay. Now, one interesting question that comes up is, how would you consider something like oatmeal or rice? Would you allow for Libun here, Hagala here, or not? What's the issue? Well, when you cook oatmeal and rice, you start off with plenty of water. But when you finish cooking rice, at least if you do it properly, so there's no longer any water. All you're supposed to put the exact amount of water in so that all the water basically gets boiled out or evaporated. So what would the halacha be? Now, if you follow the Chazon Ish's understanding of the Rush, then this would be equivalent, at least, to the case of the Rush. Because since it started off with lots of water, so that lachluchis prevents us from seeing it as tashmish alidei ha'or. Rav Yashiv cited in Dirshu in footnote 55 is Makel, as long as Rov Tashmisho was to cook with actual water. Now, let's say you're kashering your pan for Pesach, your pot for Pesach. So most tashmish, most things aren't, you know, most of the things you cook in this pot aren't oatmeal, right? Usually you cook noodles, you cook other things in water. Mia Tashmisho might be oatmeal. So there he said, okay, we could be mitstarev, the Rush, and even though we are machmir l'chatchila, we'll see in a moment, not to be somech on the Rush, we meaning Ashkenaz, and the Rama says l'chatchila, you shouldn't be somech on the Rush, but here you could be Mekel and be mitzdarif rov tashmisha with the view of the Rush, since he understands, according to the Rush, for sure, you could do hagal on a pot of oatmeal. And even if we're machmir l'chatchila against the Rush, but rov tashmisha wasn't to use it for oatmeal, so therefore you could still do hagala on such a pot for Pesach. However, if Rov Tashmisho was this type of usage, we'll see in a moment, for example, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but there's a pot in Israel. This used to be very common. I had a great aunt, Doda Hadassah, who used to make cake for us on the fire. Now, this is an amazing thing. There was something in Israel called a Sir Pella, the Wonder Pot. What's the idea of the Wonder Pot? So in the early days of the state, when Doda Hadassah first arrived, people did not have ovens. They barely had stoves. They had like a burner. So how were you supposed to make cake if you didn't have an oven? So, you know, before they were in Israel, was into high-tech inventions, they invented the Sir Pella. The Sir Pella was basically a pot which you could use to bake a cake on the stove, right? So now what's a cake like? So a cake, you put it in, it's like a liquid, right? When you pour the cake in, it's a batter, it's blila raka. But by the time you finish, it's a solid. It's similar to the rice shaila or to the oatmeal shaila or the like. So the question is, could you, you know, you need to make cake on Pesach, so could you kasher your sir pella al yedei hagala? So we'll see in a moment that there might even be Mekila. But here Rav Yashiv says, no, here you have to be Machmir. Because here Rov Tashmisho is al yedei a type of Tashmish where the completed product has no longer any liquid in it. So then, if you wanted a kasher, your sir pella, you would need Libun.
Is this comfortable? I think I asked maybe the being your shaila with eggs.
Might be a similar shaila to eggs. You start off as a liquid, you end off as a solid. Right. I would think that that's the should be the same shaila. Same shaila. So what was the shaila? I forgot the shaila already.
That was like with, I mean, the eggs themselves are never chametz or nachosh. I think there was like onions, in a dairy frying pan. and then eggs would have been the liquid medium.
Ah, so let's talk about that case in a moment. There's going to be l'chora, there'll be some room to be made for hagala, over there. Good question.
It could be the same child as depending how water you make your children to make it in the pot.
Right, right, true. Yeah, I saw in the deer should they talk about how you should kasher a chal and pot. Take a look. Okay, now, here's a very interesting question. This actually brings us back to Moshe's question. We're going to come back to Moshe's question from many angles today. So, as we said, the Ramah says that l'chatchila, we are machmir, like Rabbeinu Yoel, like the Rashba, that we do not do Haggalah on a machvas. Now, the question is, why are we machmir? Is the reason that we're machmir because we fundamentally see machvas as requiring libun? Or is it because of achshash? We're choshesh that maybe all the oil burnt up. Now, there's going back to the original chakira that we had. So what's the reason? So if you take a look at the Mishnah Brura, Sifkat Mechav Beis, and Mishnah Sifkat Mechav Samech Vav, and the Magen Avram, Mishnah Sifkat Mechav Beis, they say that the reason why we're Machmir is because we're Choshe Shemen Nisyabe Shashemen, and therefore we require Libun L'chatchila. So I thought the following question, if you remember Moshe's question was sauteing onions in a flesh gepan with a milchig spatula. So let's say that was the shaila, and let's say it was even a really bad shaila. Let's assume the both the frying pan and the spatula were ben yomo with the fleishiks and milchiks. But you look at the end of your frying of the onions, and you see there's plenty of oil left, which is often the case when you're sauteing onions. Usually when you're sauteing onions, you don't try to... Part of the making it good is that it's oily. So you look at the end and you see that the oil was not all burnt up, right? Which is, I think, probably most of the time. So maybe over here, I thought, you could be makel for sure for Haggalah. Why? Because what's the reason why L'Ramah, we are Choshesh, that you require Libun for Machvas? That's because, like the Mishnah Berurah Magen Avraham says, Shemen Nisraf, the Shemen got burnt up. Here I see, the Shemen wasn't burnt up. You see at the end there's plenty of oil left. So I thought that a lot of times, you know, the onion cases are like, as we said before, most good Yaradei Shilas involve onions. So, and this is if I'm correct in my diuk in the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avraham, then a lot of these onion shilas will have an additional tzad lahakel, because at the end of the day, the concern of Shema Nisraf won't be there. Okay. Now, the question is, could we be makel like the Ra'ah? In other words, remember we saw the Ra'ah said, even if you knew all the oil was burnt up, still, it's in a Ra'ah Pnei Ha'or. Is that view accepted at all? So this is important. Why? Because a lot of times we fry nowadays with Teflon or nonstick frying pans, and really minimal oil is used. Maybe you spray it a little bit with Pam at the beginning, but basically it's virtually no oil. And as we said at the beginning, in this case, the svara of the rush, lahakel, for a machvas is not really relevant. However, we still have the svara of the ra'ah. So is that something that we would consider? Now again, lemaisa, l'chatchila, we're not going to be makel, because the svara of the ra'ah is not cited in the Beis Yosef. The ra'ah and the Rashba, at least in Or Chaim, don't make it to the Beis Yosef, which is interesting. And the mechaber, at least the way the Nosei Kelim understand the mechaber, is only being makel based off of a sveik sveika. And one of the sveikos is maybe the oil didn't get burnt out. But does that mean the view of the Ra'ah is totally rejected? So first of all, it might be another Tzad Lahakel, because it's not just the Ra'ah. The Sefer Oel Moed says this as well. He writes, Hamachvas va'iskeritin Yesh omrim de'en sar chagala, v'yesh matzrichin lahem libun, v'rashba min ha-machmirin, mipnei she-mishtamshin ben al-yidei ha-or, mu'at v'havya ke'askela, v'yesh lahakel b'zeh mipnei she-makom tashmish ha-machvas en aroa p'nei ha-or, k'mo she-roa ha-shvod. U'puk chazi mayam adavar, and the or zaru'a, chelek dalid, in Piskei Avodah Zarah Siman Reish Tzadi Dalid, is also make-a like the ra'ah, so it's the ra'ah, the Ol HaMoed, the Or Zeruah. There are many Rishonim that are Mekel, and therefore, even though, again, the mainstream poskim are Machmir, but maybe we could throw it in as a Tzad LaHakel. So I saw that Rav Avadia flipped on this. Originally, in Yechav Adas Chelek Aleph Simen Zayin, Rav Avadia was Machmir, but then in the Sefer Chazon Avadia, on page Kuf Lamedalad, he was Chozer, and he says that Hamekel, in other words, Chozer, again, Sfardim for sure could do Hagal on a Machvas. The question is, could Sfardim do Hagal on a Teflon pan, where it's frequently used with no oil or minimal oil? And still, he says, the Hamekel Yeshlo Almi Lismoch. Now, I thought, what's he going to be Somechan? I thought he's going to pull up the Or Zeruah and the Ra'ah and the the Ol HaMoed. No, he quotes a bunch of Achronim who say even within the Rush you could be Megil with something like we said before, like the Seer Pele, right? Because at least if you start off with a liquid, let's say you're frying pancakes in your frying pan, right? And you are very health conscious, so you fry your pancakes with minimal oil. You just spray it with a little Pam and that's it. But, he says, starts off as a liquid. And who is Makel among the Achronim? So he digs up a bunch of them. Who were they? I already forgot. Sefer Tiferes La'adam and some others. I forgot who they are. It's a long tshuva. Anyway, and he says, you could be Mekel because of a Sveika. And he says, even though in Yechav Adas I was Machmir, Mikol Makom Ka'es Nirel Ani Yazdaiti. But certainly, if you throw in the Ra'ah and the Or Zeruah, there's even more room to be Mekel. So where does that leave us? Is this a Tzad LaHakel? So when I first asked Rav Willig and Rav Sablovsky about Moshe Shaila, Moshe Shaila again was the Fleishik frying pan milchik spatula. So what? So there's Eno Ben Yomo. So they both said you could be Mako to rely on Hagalah, even though we're generally Machmir for Machvas. And the reason is because you could throw in all of the opinions that by Eno Ben Yomo, really it's not Mechayel Elishvach, or at least not onions, and the like, to Safik Rabbanan. So even though you would have to kasher the frying pan, Hagalah would suffice, even though generally we're Machmir for Machvas. So that was what they said. But Rav Willig and Rav Sablovsky both said it in a different nusach. Rav Sablovsky said you could throw in the opinion of the Rush, at least to treat it as a Safik. Whereas Rav Willig said you could throw in the opinion of the Ra'ah as a Safik. So the Nafkamina would be, what would be in a Shaila like yours, where there was minimal oil, where there was no oil, basically, almost no oil. So if you think that you're Makil because we throw in this far of the Rush, so then here you would have to be Machmir. You won't have that Tzad. The way, again, practically, you should ask the question back to them. I'm just being medayik in the way they answered it. But if you answer it the way Rav Sablovsky said it, that will be mitzdarif, the opinion of the Rush, plus the opinions that onions are not Mechalya L'Shvach, Tam She'eno Ben Yomo. So that would only be if you fried in a fair amount of oil. But if you fried in minimal oil, then even if She'eno Ben Yomo, you only have one Tzad L'Hakel, and you would need Liban. Whereas if you are Mekel based off of the way Rav Willig said it, that we have two Tzadim L'Hakel, A, maybe onions aren't Mechalya L'Shvach, and B, Tzim Salomer they are, you always have the Ra'ah and the Or Zeruah, so then you could rely on Hagalah, even if there was minimal oil.
Would the Rush apply in the standard case? I don't remember saying we were just spraying. Is that
considered? No. So that's what I'm saying. The Rush, Lechora, is talking about not spraying, when there's a fair amount of oil.
Okay.
The Ra'ah, in other words, there's two reasons to be Mako. One is the reason of the Rush, that there was a fair amount of oil, and even if it got burnt up, it got absorbed into the tavshil. But the way the poskim understand the rush, the pashtus, is that the rush would not apply if there is minimal oil, right? Like the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch points out. Then, but if you hold like the Ra'ah, then across the board, even if there's minimal oil. So even though Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, we reject both the rush and the Ra'ah, they still might be relevant as a sniff lahakel, like in a case of Eino Ben Yomo onions. And then the question only is, how will we accept just the rush as a sniff? It's not such a big chiddush to accept the rush as a sniff. That's opinion of Rav Rishonim. It's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. You see that even the Ramah, we'll talk about this in a moment, when he's machmir, he's only machmir l'char b'taras chumra, which is why the Ramah writes you could get away with liban kal. Right? So to Rav Sobolowski's nosach wasn't such a chiddush. Because then, okay, we throw in the rush as a tzad lahakel. Rav Willick's nosach was more of a chiddush because he was willing to throw in the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, though again, there's a number of Rishonim that say it, but it's not quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. It's more of a chiddush to still throw that in as a sniff.
Just very good. Just in this case, if there are kosher, that at the end there's no oil in the onion.
The question is, at the beginning was there oil?
But the chumra would be if at the end. Wouldn't the chumra be that
if at the end there's oil, then I thought everybody would agree Hagala works.
But if at the end there's no
oil. If the end there's no oil, so then the rush would say you could still do Hagala. And Rabbeinu Yoel and the Rashba would say you need to do Liban.
So
if it was Ben Yomo, so we would say you have to be Machmir. But since it's Eino Ben Yomo, so we could be Mitztarif two things to allow for Hagala.
But in this specific case, the Tzad, could you be Mako, the Tzad to do Liban would be that there's no significant meaning it's like a Kenegata Or type of.
No, because even at the end of the day, assuming you started off with a fair amount of oil, if at the end of the day, even though at the end there was almost no oil remaining, still the rushes may go.
Well, I'm saying, why would the tzad, what would be the tzad to say Liban here?
It's sad to say would leave. If you ask the Rashba would say Liban. I mean, the Rashba himself would not worry because he's not worried about Chiltis. And only Chiltis is Mechayel Shvach. But if it were, leaving that aside, right, if it was Ben Yomo, let's say, the Rashba would say you need Liban.
Because of the Bliyas that
because at the end.
Because at the end. So yeah. At the end, couldn't we say...
You want to say good Vart. You want to say at the end, it's not Harif anymore.
Oh, no. Because
in other words...
I was going to say Imbalius Vilarutiv at the end. Meaning if once there's no oil, it's like, at the point where there's no...
So we don't need it. In other words, there's fleishig blios. We're talking about a kli, right? So the kli, the blios, we don't say in blios to lota for kli. What had the milchiks in it? The spatula. One had the fleishiks in it? The frying pan. So that yotze below rotev. And that's already in the onion. Right at the beginning,
the
onion.
Have to go from the onion into the pan.
But it's in the onion. The onion becomes a chesed shel basar b'chalav, and it goes into the pan. At the end, there's no basar b'chalav. There's no oil left.
The bleios from the onion go into the pan.
What?
After there's no oil, the
bleios. Oh, you're saying like this.
That's chumra in the pan.
What?
The onions. Not that the onions are.
One second. Let's think of both of them. Lamaisa, at the beginning, right? L'chora, the bleios from the spatula will go into the frying pan, right? And go into the onions. They do both, right?
Okay, but that's still like would only require hakala.
But you're saying, and that would create bas b'chalav, if we're okay. Right. And now these onions are bas b'chalav, and they will now go into the frying pan. So you're saying, but at that point, they're still liquid. Alamayer choshesh at the end. There's no liquid. Then, since there's no liquid, so the basar b'chalav that's nivla in the onions can't get into the frying pan.
Right, unless the machmir tzad is saying even based on the transference to the liquid at the beginning should still require libun.
So that's what we were medayik from the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah. You don't have to be choshesh for that. It's only the only concern is when there's no oil left.
Okay, so then.
And then there's also what I was saying, which is by the time at the end, it's also it's not even chayav. Well, that won't be relevant actually, because it already happened. It's too late. My point isn't relevant. What about your point? What do you say?
Could I be telling the Magen Avraham they have an ozer about that?
Why?
Chatzah shel
baser chol and not balua mi baser chol, then it could baser the pan even without.
But why isn't it balua? Why would it be? There's no baser or chol, it's just blios, right? And the onion has no bas b'chalav. There's no chalav and there's no baser. It's just balua mi ba.
Isn't the same as cutting an onion with inflation, right?
No, because over there, say what you want to say. Oh, you're saying, in other words, why don't? What's the logic of the Magen Avraham? Why do we say? Why is it that we don't say? In other words, why does the Magen Avraham argue with the Chavos Das? Must be that when an onion is balua bechalav, it's kilo chesed shel chalav. So here too, that would be true, right? But okay, we're not choshish for the Magen Avraham. So here, does everybody agree with your his logic?
I mean, if you're matter that minimal oil counts as no oil for levon, but it doesn't mean it's klal nivul oil to go to at that point.
You can hit that point where it's like there's oil, but it's still regards levon.
You're saying there are two different amounts of oil. Maybe there's enough oil for there to be rotev, but there's insufficient oil there's insufficient oil, and therefore we would require liban, but there's enough oil still to be considered rotev for balua. If you hold like the Chavos Das, then that ein balua yotz rotev requires significant rotev, so then for sure it would make sense to be mekel. The question is, I'm sorry? So as you stir it around,
that
maybe.
Won't require levon anyway.
What do you mean?
As far as right, then that place won't be mechayvin levon because it's still oil.
Okay, I hear something to think about. It's a good word.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this question, we'll assume like Rav Sabalovsky, not like Rav Willett, that we're only going to be willing to be mekel for Hagala if there is, you started off with with some oil. Or maybe even if you're like Rav Willig, we started off Ben Yomo, Rav Willig would agree, you have to be Machmir. But let's say this time there was a lot of oil. Meaning to say like this. This is, let's say, sometimes you used your fleshig frying pan with minimal oil, but this time you happen to use enough oil because you're frying onions. So what would we say? Would we say, but since now the frying pan was boleya tam chalav, right? And the blios of the frying pan, the fleshig blios won't come out except through hagala, through libun. So therefore you would need libun. Again, let's assume for a moment that we weren't willing to be mekel, because it's ben yomo, let's take, right? So we're going to require liban. But this time there was oil. But sometimes a frying pan was used with minimal oil, right? Sometimes for meat. So there are meat blios. Well, they would be eno ben yomo, right? Let's say they were ben yomo. Let's say you cooked something ben yomo, meat, earlier that day with minimal oil, and then you fried your onions. So in that case, would we say that those blios in the frying pan won't turned into basar b'chalav and they won't come out al yedei hagala, and therefore libun would be required? Or would we say no? Since this time there was oil, kabal lo kach polto, it should be sufficient. So that's like the question we talked about last time. That should go back to the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran about whether you see basar b'chalav is a mach masatzbo or not. So if you think like the Chazon Ish, that we're not choshish for the shach, so then Hagala would work, right? Especially with all the other tzadim lahakel. Okay, fine. Now, what about the following, Shiloh? Let's say I fried meat in a dairy frying pan, but the dairy frying pan was eno ben yomo. And let's even assume for a moment, what would you say I need? Let's even say I fried it with minimal oil. Mamish minimal oil. So what do you say? No? fried schnitzel, let's not even do chicken. Mamish bas b'chalav d'araisa. Fried veal cutlets on a milchig frying pan. So do I need to do libun or hagala? So I would say hagala. If it's eno ben yomo, it's tam kli eno ben yomo, so it should be hetera bala. And therefore, if hetera bala, then everybody agrees libun should work, right? Hagala should work. Because there's no, in other words, there's no basar b'chalav that was created. Stam kelim eino ben yomo, assuming it was eino ben yomo. So you're right, my frying pan I can't use for milchiks or fleishiks, because there are blios of milchiks in it, there are blios of fleishiks in it, and therefore I need to kasher it if I want to, let's say, restore it to its original uses of fleishik frying pan or milchik a frying pan. But since there's no basar b'chalav created, I should say it's hetera bala, and therefore even though there was no oil used, hagala should suffice. That's what I would have thought. I saw the Chsam Sofer, Simen Kuf Yud, is machmir. In that case, that still you need Hagala Shlosha Pa'amim. It's a very interesting point. A, I don't know why you wouldn't be Mekel because of Hetera Bala. And B, if you're not Mekel, what's Hagala Shlosha Pa'amim? Right, we'll see in a moment, there is such an idea of Mili V'irish Shlosha Pa'amim for, let's say, Cheresh and Bala Betzonein, but Lo Shamanu Hagala Shlosha Pa'amim. But I don't know if we're choshish for that. It seemed to me like a very big chumrah, yesh la'ayin. That the pashtus is, in that case, hagala should surely work. Okay, so how does the mechaber paskin on the shayla in terms of machvas? So we already mentioned that by Pesach he's megal. The problem is that in Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph Siv Dalid, he is machmir by Shari Surim. So how do we resolve this stira in the Mechaber? So there are two resolutions. The Gra, in Sifkat and Tess, writes that the Mechaber really thinks thicker is like the Rush, that Hagala suffices, but there's Makom Lahachmir, and therefore Shari Surin, he's Machmir, but by Chametz, since you could be Mitzdarif, the view that Chametz is Hetera Bala, you could be Mekel. And even though the Mechaber did not paskin chametz hetera bala, right? Let's say a shvod for chametz. So there he said you needed liban. But here, where you have a spake spake of sorts, maybe we paskin like the Rush, that machvas only requires hagala. Vintim saloma, we paskin like the Rashba. Maybe we paskin that hetera bala. So therefore, you could be mekel. And therefore, the psak of the Rash, the mechaber, is basically for Pesach, hagala. And for Shari Surin, at least Betaras Chumra, one should do Libun. The Shach over there, Sifkat and Ches, cites a Ramah Mipano, who has a very interesting theory, that by Chametz you could be Mekel, because the Chametz was absorbed via a Mashke, meaning to say as follows. When we talk about kashering a Machvas from Chametz, so what's chametz? It's not the oil. There's no such thing as chametz oil, right? You can't make oil out of wheat or barley. So we're talking about what? The thing that was fried in the pot, right? I don't know, I fried schnitzel with breadcrumbs in my frying pan with oil. So there, the chametz always went through the medium of the oil before being absorbed into the pan. And that's the case where we are mekel, or the Mechaber is Mekel, to allow for Hagala. But what about the case of Shari Surin? Let's say you go ahead and you buy a frying pan from a guy. So how did the guy use the frying pan? Well, he used it to fry his schnitzel, fine. There it goes through the medium of oil, but sometimes the oil is treif. What did they used to use? Schmaltz and Shuman Shalchazir, and who knows what for oil. Now there, the oil itself, even though the oil might have been in liquid form, but the oil itself is aser. It's not the pshat that the iser went into the frying pan through the medium of some liquid heter. No, the liquid itself was iser. And that's why the mechaber is machmir. That's the understanding of the Ramah Mipano as understood by the shach. So therefore, for shari surin, you'll need libun. In other words, if you buy a frying pan from a guy and he might have cooked with schmaltz shel chazer, so you need libun. But when it comes to chametz, where it was only absorbed through the medium of the liquid of heter, of non-chametz, so then hagala spices. So there are a number of nafkaminas. If you learn, like the Gruz reading, so then you could be makil anytime it's heter or bala, no matter what. Whereas if you learn like number two, you'd have to be machmir any time the medium was usser. And likewise, in the other direction, let's say you trafed up a pan by accidentally frying in vegetable oil your nevela schnitzel in a pan. So there, according to the Gra, bedas machaber, you'd have to be machmir. Right? But according to the Rama Mipano, one could be Mekel. Now, there are those that were Doche, the understanding of the Shach, Bedas HaRama Mipano. So you want to take a look at the Sefer HaGalas Kelim, Perek Yud Gimel, Ha'ara Resh Yud Gimel. He cites a number of Achronim who object to the Shach's understanding of the Rama Mipano. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that it sounds like the Rama Mipano that he's only machmir for Isura Bala, like Stam Yenam and Bishal Akum, Veshem and Isser, Vekadoma, not in Hetera Bala, like Basar Bechalav. In other words, what would be if you cooked, if you used like butter, right? So that would be. To make this milchix, right? So according to the Shach's understanding of Rama Mipano, that would require libun. But the Rebbe Yeger's medayik there that even the Rama Mipano would agree because it's hetera bala. Also, if you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva over there, Sifkat and Zion, he cites the Chassam Sofer, who had a different understanding of the Rama Mipano. So it's not 100% clear that the Shach's understanding of the Rama Mipano is correct. But one way or the other, even if the Shach's understanding is correct, the Chazon Ish in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Yotes Os Yotes says the whole thing doesn't make sense. The Rama Mipano simply doesn't make sense, or it doesn't make sense to Paskin that way, because it's against the Rishonim. All the Rishonim say that the Tzad Lahachmir for a frying pan to require Libud is because maybe the oil burnt up, or the like we saw in the Rush, in the Rashba, right? The Rama Mipano has a very interesting theory, okay, I hear, but it's not what the Rishonim say. It's not what the Rashba meant. It's not what the Rabbeinu Yoel meant, or the Machmirim in the Rush. And therefore, the Chazon Ish just totally rejects the Rama Mipano. But then, nevertheless, sometimes we do throw in the... we do consider the Rama Mipano. In a couple of moments, I'm going to give you a fascinating example where the Svara of the Rama Mipano, whether we accept it or reject it, was Mamish came up lemaisin, a question I was asked. But we'll get there in just 5 minutes. Yeah. Any question? Nope? Okay. So, fine. One last concern from when it comes to Machvas. Or generally, not just machvas. Are you allowed to do hagala on a kli shebala al yidei ha'esh kidei l'shtamish bo only b'chamin, the lo be'esh? Right? Let's say, for example, I had a pot. And usually I use this pot for cooking, right? But once I fried something in this pot. So I want to go ahead and do hagala. Let's even say for ofen arai. I want to do Haggalah and use this pot to cook. Now, it's true that to totally kosher the pot, let's say we're machmir to require libun, right? But I don't want to do libun now. I just want to cook in it. So this is a machlokes rishonim. It's cited in the Beis Yosef in Siman Kufchaf Aleph Sif Hey, that some rishonim are makel. The Ran at the end of Avodah Zarah is machmir. Now, what's the pshat in this machlokas? So, Rav Willig, this might be reprinted in the Am Mordechai on Moedim, but he writes, originally it was written in the Mesorah Journal, in the Chelek Dalad Amud Sadi, and he writes that this gets into a hakira that we asked at the very beginning. Very interesting question. What's the pshat that Hagala doesn't work on a kli shetashmishu al yidei ha'or? Is the pshat that the blios al yidei ha'or are more entrenched and therefore they don't come out through Hagala? Or is the pshat that when you use or, they go in deeper and therefore Hagala doesn't suffice to get them out? So he said that the Mekilim over there say that they just go in deeper. So Memela Hagala will help you to solve your problem, at least if all you're planning to do is Hagala. Masha Ein Kain, the Ran who's Machmir, says no, they don't go in deeper. After all, we assume all the time when it comes to Bishul or the like, the Blios spread throughout. Rather, the Pshat is they get in more entrenched, and therefore they won't come out Al Yidei Hagala. Now, you could have said, okay, but whatever was going to come out came out when you did Hagala, and therefore you don't have to worry anymore. So at least the Machmirim have to hold of two things. Number one, the pshat is that they become more entrenched. And number two is that they always will come out slowly. It's like a kli cheres. In other words, since they can't be totally cleared through Hagala, so then every time you use it subsequently, a little more of the blios will come out, and therefore it would be aser. Yeah.
Wouldn't you have to say that it's like the Ron's shot that they don't go in deeper, but that they're more entrenched based on the fact that a lot of Rishonim assume that if you just scrape off the outer layer, then that could work, and then you module the Kli afterwards. I don't know if a lot of Rishonim, but they're Rishonim quoted in the Beis Yosef that theoretically, if you scraped off the outer layer of the Kli,
you used it al yidei or, and you scraped off the outer layer, and then you do agala. Right, so that's what those views hold. That's dumb. You could say, what's the pshat in that? So l'chora, that's saying you need two things, or at least be choshish for two things. And if you remember the pshat that I said from Avulag last time, that at least the Rambam Shita is that Sli only goes in a klipa, so that would explain that, right? Sli only goes in a klipa. So as soon as you got the klipa out, then you've basically solved the Sli problem. Now, according to the Rambam, you would stop there. Right? You don't have to do any more. That's why the Rambam holds that even if you use your knife mamish as a skewer, if you just sharpen the knife and take off the outer klipa, you're done. We're machmir for both. But what you're saying is there are some opinions that say, yes, we're machmir for both, but still you don't have to combine all chumras beyond that. So as long as you got off the outer layer, then you wouldn't need Sli anymore, right? And then in terms of the rest, so for that, Hagala would suffice. Yeah. But I don't think we paskin that way. I think we paskin that you need Liban Gamor, at least for something that needs Liban Gamor entirely. Okay. So now let's talk about the, finally, what the types of things need Hechsher and how the Hechsher is done. So, first of all, what could be kashered? So, the Torah tells us that you could kasher metal. According to most poskim, you could also kasher eitz and even. That's the pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. What can't be kashered? So we know the Gemara Pesachim on the base says you can't kasher kli cheres, and we derive from the pasuk of kli cheres asher tibushal bo yishaver that it's tal shvira. We noted the chiddush in that derivation because those psukim are stated in other contexts, but that's of course the halacha. We'll talk about porcelain in a moment. In terms of achzar lekivshonos, again we already discussed that theoretically that does work for cheres, except for the times when we're concerned that you won't do the proper libun because you might they might break. Okay, so we went over that issue, whether it's because of Liban or Hechsher L'Kivshonos and the like. One other type of Hechsher, which we haven't really discussed, is the idea of Magila B'chamin Shalosh Pa'amim. Or, first of all, so what's that from? So the Yerushalmi in Trumos Perk Aleph Halacha Dalad allows for Hagala three times for vessels that absorbed truma. Yerushalmi says, Tani Rabbi Chalafta ben Shal Kedera Shebishal Batruma Magila Becham in Shalosh Pa'amim V'dayo. Amar Rabbi Ba, ve'en l'meidin mimena l'inyan nevela. So we're makil for truma, but we don't derive for nevela. So that's of course talking about a kli cheres. So the question that you might ask is the following. Well, maybe the Yushalmi is telling us that you could be makel for all dinim derabbanan, right? Like truma. And therefore, since every kederesh eno ben yomo is only derabbanan, so memela, maybe you could say, if you had a kederesh al cheres, she'ena bas yoma, if you did hagala three times, that would be sufficient. So there are three views in the Rishonim on this matter. The Itter says, Ilav de Mistafina, Mirabavsa, he would be Mako. And this is the Rashman Mishmar Sabayas says this as well, as does the Meiri at the end of Odeh Zarah, B'Shem Yesh Misha Omer. And the Meiri himself seems like he's Mako on this. There's those that say no, that they're only makel in Hagala Shalosh Pa'amim for Isurim de Rabbanan She'en Lam Iker Min HaTorah, as opposed, like Truma, but not Kedera She'en Ben Yoma, Bas Yoma. That's the view of the Rashban, the Tarsabais HaKatzar, and it's cited in a tour in Yordea Kuf Chaf Aleph. The Meiri, in the name of a different opinion, the Shulchan Aruch in the Yoredeya Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Tazayin B'Shem Yesh Omrim. And in the Mishmer Sabayis, it's unclear. You'll take a look there. But he says that that Kli She'eno Ben Yomo is considered Ikar Min HaTorah for these purposes. And finally, we have the view that says, no, even by an Isser de Rabbanan She'en Lo Ikar Min HaTorah, they weren't makel. It's only by truma de rabbanan that's an iser sheno shava bakol makom, and that's when they were makel. Who says that? The Ra'ah in the Bet HaKabayis and the Shita Mekubetzis and Bava Basra Pei Zayinim at Aleph B'Shem Haran, and the Ramban in Bava Basra there as well.
That was one.
Pei Zayinim at Aleph. So what are we paskin? So the Tur in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph writes as follows. Kasav bala iter, ilo de mistafina me rabavsa amina da filu klicheres bekedera de lav bas yoma, kevan di sura de rabanan, magila gimel pa'amin vidayo. Vehevi raya min Yerushalmi, vechen kasav harashba, vesium dvarav de efshar, shelo itiru ela be iser, shel devrehem, she'en lo ikar min haTorah, ketruma, vechala bechutz la aretz, vechen bishule nachrim, Aval shari surim shall devrayhem hechmiru bahem kishel Torah v'ra'uay lacho shalol lahakal bahem. Now, if you are going to ever do this practically, we'll talk about some cases where you might. Let's say you're doing it by China, so you have to make sure that you do it carefully so it doesn't break from the heat. And you also have to, the Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Pesach, at the beginning of Siman Chaf Tes, that you have to make sure that each time you boil it, you switch the water.
Why is China not cheres?
We'll talk about it. Well, this is works for cheres. Whether our China is cheres or not is a big machlokas haposkim, but we'll get there. So we'll return to this details on this a little later. But the point that's relevant is we'll see that this view is oftentimes brought up as a sniff for certain types of shas hadchak shailas. Sometimes we'll see, for example, Rav Moshe is mitzdaref for Bali Tshuva and Takanas HaShavim. He's mitzdaref the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, that after 12 months, all blios are gone anyway. And the Chacham Tzvi himself wasn't mekel, really, lemaisa, but the Chacham Tzvi plus the Bala Itter that you could do Hagala Shalosh Pa'amim, and it's maybe the tzad that our China anyway doesn't need to be koshered. So we'll get there. Now, we paskin, so that's one idea of Shalosh Pa'amim. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tafnun Aleph Sif Chaf Aleph, we say that Kli Cheres was Bolea Bitsonein, then you could do Hagala, you could kosher it Al Yedei Hagala, or you could kosher it Al Yedei amiloi v'iroi shalosh yamim. What does that mean? It means you fill it up, the klicharis, for 24 hours, you dump it out, you fill it up and let it sit for another 24 hours, you dump it out, and then you do that a third time. What's bli abitzonin? Like kavash, something like that. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Sif Katan Kuf Yod Ches, in the name of the Shach, in Yoredeya Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, that Shari Surin, you shouldn't be Megil for Miloi V'iru Shalosh Yamim, Dafka by Chametz, because we throw in Hetera Bala, and also Yayin Nesech, because the Mayim is Maklish the Yayin. Okay, so that's Cheres. Next topic is Zchuches. So what about Zchuches? So there's a big Machlokes Rishonim on this matter. Rabbeinu Yechiel says Zchuches is Dino Kikli Cheres, because A, Tchilas Briyaso is al yaday, it's made from materials that are basically the same thing as cheres. It's made out of sand. Number two, okay. Number two, is that we find in Shabbos on Tes Vav Amud Beis that at least midrabbanan they gave it the dine tuma of cheres. So we find in Chazal as well that they were machmir. So that's the view of Rabbeinu Yechiel. It's cited by the Mordechai. It's the view of the Smag as well. Most Rishonim, including Tosas Avodah Zarah, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, the Ranim, Psacha, and Tesem, and Aleph, and the Ravya, are Mekel. And this is basically, there's a explicit proof for this in Avos to Rabbi Nasan. And they hold, no, that glass does not absorb at all. It simply needs to be washed, rinsed, cleaned out well. But that's alone. That's sufficient. And then there's a third opinion, the Ra'ah. It's cited by the Ritva and Psachim Lamed Tesem at base, that a glass is similar to metals, and you could kosher it, let's say through Hagalah or the like, but it would need to be koshered. This is also the view of the Or Zeruah in the Hilchos Pesach Resh Nun Vav. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Chaf Vav says that you don't need a kasher at all. The Mechaber says you just wash it out very well and you could use it for Pesach. And the Ramah says you should be machmir. Now there's a debate in the Achronim whether about the scope of this stringency. Is this specifically said about Pesach or said about all things? So if you look at the Gra and the Aruch HaShulchan, you'll see they discuss this. Rav Moshe, it's quoted in Rav Eider Sefer on page 139, writes that we're machmir only by Pesach. And many achronim paskin this way as well. Take a look at the Sridei Eish, Chelek Beis Lamed Vav, and the Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Vav. The Mishnah Berurah writes a very interesting thing, that you could go ahead and let's say you're talking about glasses, right? So glasses, what kind of koshering do they need? So I would say, well, glasses, you don't use them for hot at all, like table glasses. So maybe you should just need to wash them very well. Yeah?
How many of those other folks can charge sir, cash them, but they don't need cash at all?
You have to check. I don't remember. I'm sorry. My notes got all confused here. Or at least I got confused. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that for glasses, you can... So why would you need a kasher glasses at all? So if any of you have older European relatives, you'll see that they drink tea in a glass. My grandfather drank tea in a glass. So it's a miyat tashmish is bechamin. Or maybe every so often you also...
Maybe only if you put
milk in. You dip your milk in the tea, or you dip your coffee, you put milk in, or chametz, you dip your cookies into the tea. You'll never... People that drink tea from a glass, they don't put sugar in the tea, because they put the sugar cube between the teeth. But they still might dip their
Isn't that a cliche anyway, that one?
What? It is, well, it's Iwai Klisheni. Oh, you're saying when you put your cookie in? Yeah, in a chanami. You put the milk in first, I hear. Also, there's a concern that maybe there were crumbs of chametz that were in there that let's say you didn't wash your, you ate Friday night, you didn't wash your dishes until 24 hours later, and some crumbs were left at the bottom of the glass. So, theoretically, some things could happen. So the Mishnah Berurah says like a shtickle pshara. He says, well, probably, there's a good argument you don't need a kasher these glasses anyway. So we'll let you get away with the milui v'iroi shloshe yamin. And this, in fact, was the practice among many European Jews. They didn't get new glasses for Pesach. Instead, they would do milui v'iroi shloshe yamin.
Isn't that harder than Hagalah?
No, because they would break with Hagalah. Unless you're talking about Pyrex. So their glasses, you couldn't do Hagalah. So this is what they would do. Somebody told me that they did this in their bathtub. They put all their glasses in the bathtub, and they filled it up. And then they left it there for 24 hours. They emptied it, filled it up, emptied it 3 times. Okay, good. Some people put their carp in their Pesach before, in their bathtub before Pesach. Some people put their glasses in their bathtub before Pesach. So the Chazon Ish says this doesn't make any sense. Manafshach, if you think that your glasses became aser, so then you have to do Hagalah. What's this? What's milui v'iroi shalosh yamin betzonin going to do? And if you didn't think they became chametz stick, so just wash them. So he didn't think this pshara of the Mishnah Berurah makes sense. But this was a very common practice. Some of the later achronim, they're cited by the Dirshu, I think, or maybe no, I saw it in the Hagalos Kalim book. Miyashiv the Mishnah Berurah's pshara, because there's so many. This is such a far-fetched possibility. One could be Mako. Lemaisa, how do we paskin? So, in terms of the rest of the year, is it okay to have one set of glasses for Milchiks and Fleishiks? So this was Maisa B'chol Yom in Europe, and still today, many people are Mako. Certainly those who have one set of glasses, Yesh Lem Al Mi Lismoch, especially, like we said, because table glasses anyway are used only betzonein, and when you're washing them in the sink, so then we talked about the various kulas in the sink. Some poskim, I saw this in the Shil Sechuvos Tuvtam Badas Tlisai Chelak Beisim and Chafhei, write that this is only true. The minig to be mako is only true for glass that you never place on the flame. In other words, when it comes to glass pans, which we now have, Pyrex and the like, then you should be machmir. I saw the Rav Heinemann adopts this middle view. He says, if you want to be mako on the glasses, table glasses and the like, then certainly there's room to be mako. But anything that you cook on, like glass baking pans and the like, so those shouldn't be kashered at all, or at least shouldn't be kashered without the libun, which I assume you couldn't do. That's, I think, a very reasonable pshara. Lemaisa, I think many poskim, and I heard this, I think, from Rav Willig and maybe Rav Sablovsky as well, they say nowadays you should just have two sets of glasses. Glasses are very cheap. They're, you could buy a set of glasses at the 99-cent store. Why should one be makil nowadays. And even though there's room to be makil, you know, en limchos biata mekilim, but may as well have two sets of glasses. Yeah.
In terms of the turning thing in a microwave.
Yeah. I think there you would have to be machmir, because it's mamish. If something does boil over, mamish gets cooked, you treat it as a kli rishon. So I would think that if you need it, you shouldn't kasher. In other words, if you're going to be makel to kasher your microwave, let's say for Pesach or the like, you should replace the glass turntable. So if you're kashering from treif, let's say you buy a, you move into a house that had a built-in microwave. You should just buy a new turntable. And if you want to kosher your microwave for Pesach, if that's okay, we'll talk about later whether that is okay. But let's say one adopts the lenient view. So then what you could do is either just use it without a tray, or you could replace it with a cardboard circle or anything, styrofoam, something that's about a quarter of an inch thick, and that'll work just fine. But I think one shouldn't kosher. I would think one shouldn't kosher the turntable. Again, you could definitely argue lahakel. You could say no, we paskin that you could kosher glass. But there it might make sense to be machmir. Yeah.
What about the fact that glass is like invisible? Is there no possibility to determine there's no bleus?
Well, I don't know. I don't think invisible. The tzad lahakel that's brought is that it's smooth, it's shia, it's like a lathe. And its smoothness is the reason why those Rishonim say you don't even need a kasher in at all. But basically what they're saying is it's non-porous, and therefore it's not balea. The only reason you need a kasher anything ever is because it's porous. So even if you tell me it's made out of the same materials that go into cheres, fine, that's cheres. But this is non-porous. If you look at the Gemara in Pesachim, it doesn't sound like every charis be'etzem is ein balui yotzim de dofen, right? It talks about the green one and the different colors and the like. If you had charis that was absolutely non-porous, so maybe an achanami. So that's the idea of the mekilim for glass. They say, it doesn't matter, lemais, it's smooth, it's non-porous, and that's why, that's the tzad lahakel. I don't know if clarity is the reason as much as the fact that it's non-porous. Yeah.
The shulchan aruch for this is in your idea?
Yeah. In terms of Pyrex, so first of all, what is Pyrex? What time is it? All right. So Pyrex is borosilicate glass. But basically what does that mean is they put some boron into it or other chemicals. It's basically glass with some extra ingredients, and the myla of that is it doesn't break. So glass, if you put something very hot in it or you put it into the oven or the like, would break. And the myla of Pyrex is that because of the additional ingredients, it doesn't break. So in the Hakdama of the Haggadah, the Minchas Asher, Os Tes, he writes that some say that even according to the Ramah, you could be Mekel, because maybe the Ramah was only Machmir by Schuchis because Dilma Chayas Alei Shema Paki. Masha'en came, when it comes to Pyrex, you could surely be Machshir it. It's a bit of a Chiddush, because it's not necessarily the reason. Maybe the Ramah was machmir because he thought the ingredients made it like charas. But I think that's what, I think Rav Avadia writes that. That's what Ashkenazim should do. Sfaradim don't have to pass kasher glass, but he writes that Ashkenazim are only machmir because Dil Machayis Alav, and therefore Ashkenazim could kasher glass if you could do Haggalah with it. And therefore, when it comes to something like Pyrex, where you could do Haggalah on it, there's no chashash it's going to break, so then even Ashkenazim should be makel. Some say we don't have to listen to Ravadia, but he could all. If you think it's true, it's not. He doesn't prove it. It's not so clear that should be true. Rav Moshe writes, or at least Rav Moshe told Rav Heineman that Pyrex is equivalent to regular glass. What about Karel? So what is Karel? Karel, if you ever have nothing to do, Ben Ismanim, you can go to the Corning factory and you can figure out how Karel is made. It's like, your wife will enjoy looking at the various dishes and you'll enjoy learning, trying to figure out what the halacha is on Corning. So Karel is basically also made out of the same ingredients of glass. It's the same thing as glass, except it looks white, but be'etzem it doesn't have to be that way. And the decorations that are on it were just placed on afterwards. They're silk screen painted on. Karel is basically glass, but they chop that. There's three thin layers of glass, one on top of another. And by going ahead and putting these thin layers of glass in different directions, that makes it much more resistant to breaking. So Rav Heineman writes, there's no reason why a Karel should be treated any different than glass. Karel is also the same thing as vitrel. It's just two types of glass that are laminated in three layers. Now you should be careful, just so you know, because Karel also produces, the company Karel also produces stoneware dishes, and those can't be kosher. So just because it says Karel on it, you have to make sure that it's Karel tempered glass. It's not Karel stoneware.
But I thought we were saying that can't be kosher either.
No, if one koshers glass, let's say there's more room to be makel for non-pots or the like. The ones that go in the oven are usually not Karel. They are Corning. Talk about that. It's a little different. It might be a little more tzadl hachmir, because there are more ingredients that come from cheres. So if you have this shayla, you have to look into it. A lot of times, you have to know, even if one is machmir, if it's mamish iser, there are a lot of other tzadim lahakel. Let's say you think they're probably kosher, but maybe they're not, or you're afraid that somebody put some bishul akum onto it, or the like. So you have to know. So many are makel, especially when you're dealing with plates, klisheni usually, or iroi, the like, to kosher them, but they need to be koshered. What about plastic? Do we have time for plastic? We'll do plastic quickly. And then we have to do porcelain. Okay. So there are four views on plastic. There's some who say because it's a new material, it can't be koshered at all. We don't know how to kosher anything that the Torah or the Poskim didn't discuss. It happens to be that at least some plastics are especially porous, more so than other things. There's one place where you ever see blios, it's in plastic. Or taste them. Like sometimes if you'll look at your containers and if you put hot spaghetti sauce in it, you'll still see it or even taste the residual. And therefore some say you shouldn't kosher plastic at all. Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim, Igros Moshe Orach Chaim Chelek Beis Simen Tzadi Beis writes that you shouldn't kosher synthetic rubber because it's a new material and we don't really know. Now, Rav Eider understands, and this is in Hilchos Pesach, page 138, note 10, that Rav Moshe was only stringent about Pesach. Sorry, Rav Moshe was only stringent about Pesach. Rav Moshe was makel to allow for koshering plastic the rest of the year, but he was only machmir for Pesach. Again, he doesn't say that in Igros Moshe, but the tshuva, the Igros Moshe, is talking about Pesach, it seems. And Rav Willig also said one should follow this view. Ideally, at least if koshering is really mandated, There might be cases where we don't really need a kash or something and we just do al tchumra, so then there's more room to be makel. But if a case for Pesach, at least, where kashering is really necessary, one shouldn't kasher plastic for Pesach. I asked Rav Willig today, what's the logic of being machmir for Pesach? So that doesn't really make too much sense, but we're more machmir on Pesach because it's an iser mashehu, so if it doesn't work, there's more of a concern. So that's the second view. Again, view number one is you can't kasher plastic at all. View number two is we're machmir not to kasher plastic for Pesach, but we would be makel for the rest of the year. I think Rav Shechter is makel on that shaila, plastic even on Pesach, but I'm not sure. View number three is that we treat plastic like metal. This is the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Dalet, Siman Vav, Rav Gedalia Felder, and Yesod Yeshurun on page 6 to 10, the Sri Deyesh, Chelek Aleph, Siman Mem Vav, and others. They say, basically, we paskin that everything other than cheres could be kashered. That's how we know wood and other materials could be kashered, even though the Torah doesn't say that they could be kashered, because we assume everything could be kashered besides cheres. And finally, there's a fourth opinion, Rav Henkin, this is also cited by Rav Eider in page 138, note 10, that the plastic doesn't need to be kashered at all. It's like shia, it's glass-like, it doesn't need to be kashered. Fine. It doesn't absorb, it's non-absorbent. I don't know, it doesn't seem to make so much sense. Okay, I guess next time we'll start with porcelain. I think we can wait till Wednesday, but we'll definitely finish up Haggalah. If we don't finish Hachshir Kelim on Wednesday, we'll have Chabur on Thursday to finish it up. So that next week we'll be able to do Tefilas Kelim. If you could finish Hachshir Kelim by the middle of this week, you'll be in much better shape so that you could start learning the sugyos of Tefilas Kelim before we get to the shir on them.
Tufnan Beis too?
You should do Tufnan Beis, yeah. Tufnan Beis isn't as long as Tufnan Aleph.